Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We always have to remind ourselves that we've got to be careful because it's too damn Friday, and especially because it's the Friday before a very, very big week. We've got the NFL draft next week, and we've got the start of my WNBA training camp next week. Ooh. What a time to be alive. And your girl, I know I'm in good shape, Junior, but like probably not basketball shape, but I will survive. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogumike and Mike Golic Jr. holding it down this beautiful Friday. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests and a very special guest will join us in about 10 minutes. Join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, before I get to that, Junior, you know there's like a different thing about being in shape and like doing workouts and then actually joining the team and being like, oh, I still need time.
Yeah, so this is really fascinating. Like, Chinee is getting ready to go to bleeping training camp next week. And I don't know how this is on the basketball side, Chinee, because I remember having a lot of buddies, friends of mine that graduated before I did that went to the pros that would always comment and say when they got to the NFL, training camp was actually easier because of the rules, because of what they limit you on, than it was in college for a lot of reasons. Have you found that in the WNBA that your guys' camp, they're a little less intensive than Stanford?
Okay, Stanford is the hardest. Once you get to college and you do practices for 3 hours, that's the hardest scenario. Now, the pros, the only reason it's hard is because you're not built the way you were in college.
Yes.
And so you're doing drills like three-man weave down and back for how long? Like, shoot, I only got two down and backs in me. You know, this 29-year-old body, Junior. So,
well, that's the thing. It's the warm-up that takes longer the further along you go. Like, you got to spend more time getting your body to that point where you can go out there and perform. Hell, I got to do that before I go on a run now. And I am almost 32 and washed, so I can only imagine what it's like to get ready. Like, you have any of the pre-camp jitters, Janae? Because this was always the one thing, and my dad used to always bring this up, like the week before he would head off to Eagles training camp, my mom wanted him out of the house because he became so miserable getting ready, getting some of that almost back to school anxiety. So how are you feeling right now heading into this?
Wait, shamelessly plug what's coming in 10 minutes, please, Junior.
Yes, Mike Golic Sr. going to be joining us in about 10 minutes here on ESPN Radio.
Let's go!
Some pretty interesting news for Dad in the upcoming NFL draft, getting the chance to announce potentially a couple of second round picks for his former squad, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Great news, and I'm so excited to be reunited with my favorite guys. Yay! But yeah, you're right. Like, I think there's a multiplier that applies, Junior. Every year that you become a pro, it's like an additional 5 to 10 minutes that you add to your warm-up routine. And so your girl is on. I just discovered that there's something called an arc. And y'all, I promise, we are about to talk Anthony Davis and the Lakers coming soon. But this is just a taste of what we will be doing, you know, hopefully each and every day for a small portion of our show. I will give you feedback on what it's like to be a current professional athlete and also an ESPN radio host. But Junior, yeah, there's a multiplier that applies. Your girl just got an arc, which is like a fancy elliptical, something that I could totally see you on. And so, yeah, I'm at the stage where it's like anything that will help keep me warm. I have a VersaClimber, and in my living room, Junior, I have an arc. So,
I was going to say, Janae Ogumike has got to be the only person on earth that, in addition to having a fully functional radio studio sitting in their house, also has what is now developing into a professional-level gym right next door. If you're watching on ESPN Plus right now, she is tilting the camera over so that we can see another camera right now. There's the VersaClimber.
I did it this time. Last time I couldn't do it, but I did it this time, and I feel bad for television. But it's Janae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. We're having some fun because it's the final hour of our show. We have so much to get to. We've got Mike Golic Sr. joining in about 10 minutes. But yesterday, we had a huge return, Junior, speaking of the world of hoops, because your girl's returning to the court, and so did Anthony Davis. Now, under normal circumstances, Junior, if I told you that Dennis Schroeder had 25 points, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had 29 points, you'd be like, oh, Batman, the Lakers, that was an easy one for them. Well, other things are at play, especially now dealing with a situation where LeBron James is out for at least, you know, Dave McMenamin told us another 2 or so weeks. And Anthony Davis finally returned to the court versus the Dallas Mavericks. 67 days, 30 missed games, which is just wild to fathom that you had 30 games in 67 days. 5 missed shots before he finally found the bottom of the net. He was on a minutes restriction of 15 minutes, but he played 17, which is all right. He finished with 4 points on 2 of 10 shooting. So does this dissuade you from anything that you or anything that makes you think that like the Lakers could potentially be a championship team? Just seeing how, I mean, I know it sounds like an overreaction, but do you think that this is not so easy for them to sort of put their pieces together and find a way to stay up in the standings?
No, I think it's a reminder of just what you said there. For some reason, Chinee, it didn't seem like 9 weeks. Now, in the NBA overall, it's been a weird year where it feels like we haven't seen a lot of the stars on the court at the same time. I mean, hell, that's why we all freak out every time Steph Curry does something right now, because he's basically one of the only stars we've been able to count on being out there, especially in the second half of the season. But everything we saw from AD last night was a reminder of, yeah, it's a bit difficult to insert, but I have a feeling this process is going to be easier on them than it is on a team, say, like the Brooklyn Nets, who's going to do all this without the benefit of then that time under task that the Lakers bankrolled last year. Dave McMenamin made the best point possible with us yesterday. The Lakers did this disruption with their time thing last year, went into the bubble, and it worked out okay.
Oh, it absolutely did, the defending champs. But you know what's funny? When you see a star that is very anxious to return, he was telling the media that he was 100%, and then it goes 2 of 10, 4 points, it's nice to see when your coach has your back. Now, Frank Vogel in the presser after the game versus the Mavericks after the loss basically talked about what AD did well instead of sort of where he struggled.
He impacts the game on both ends, but his defense was great. You know, I think he picked up right where he left off. I think he's the best defensive player in the league when he's got his legs under him and conditioned. But you saw some of that tonight with those plays you alluded to. He also stole a corner skip pass that, you know, really should have been a rotation, and he just like plucked it out of midair. So, he's a difference maker on both sides of the ball, but he was terrific on D tonight.
He's a freak. He's the fastest kid. Like, that part did look effortless, Janae, early on in the game, as you're watching and trying to see how such a big piece of their team, like, you're not jamming a role player back into the lineup. You're driving a guy with gravitational force, and it seemed that way. You remembered, oh my God, you've got this big, strong, dynamic athlete who, the best news you got was, didn't think about the injury when he was out there. And you know what a hurdle that is to come back from.
My goodness, that is the biggest hurdle. And if you're just watching on ESPN Plus, there was a cute little clip of Anthony Davis clearly frustrated with his performance. And he's like sort of kicking, what do you call that? The side stanchion where like the advertisements are, where players sort of linger based on social distances. He's kicking that in frustration. LeBron's over there like smiling like, it's okay, bro. We gonna be all right. But it just shows you the competitive fire of Anthony Davis, finally glad to be back. And you remember the quotes we were saying, you know, yesterday that he said before he returned. He was like, look, I've never been in a situation that was probably that scary. I thought my Achilles was tearing. And now to be 9 weeks removed and then return and now say you're 100%, that is the biggest win for Lakers Nation. Now, the only part for concern is the fact that, all right, you guys have slid down the standings to the 5th spot, 4 losses behind the Denver Nuggets, which is a lot of room to have to sort of make up if you're going to try to make a home court advantage stand. But the reality is, who really needs that nowadays, especially where health is the number one commodity for winning a championship?
Exactly, and where the crowds are still, in some cases, limited in capacity. It's certainly not a true home court advantage. And for a team that is led by someone who is so postseason savvy in LeBron James, I feel like, again, we kind of downgrade the result of all that, again, relative to their counterparts in Brooklyn, because we know that's the comparison that's going to exist here. Two teams with their star players that have been injured, two teams with grand expectations, and one who just happens to have already walked this path the way that the Lakers had. So Anthony Davis back. We'll see how he continues to ramp up minutes-wise. We know we're still a couple of weeks away from LeBron James being back, but in the meantime, the NBA is still on ESPN Radio. Tune in Sunday as Blake Griffin and the Nets host DeAndre Ayton and the Suns, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. No, I can say that was still, star-wise, Blake Griffin, like, yeah, he may not be the dude anymore, but the name still carries some cachet. He's not just a stand-up comedian yet.
Look, thank you, producer Shannon, for putting some respect on the big boys, okay?
I can say, technically, 2 number one overall picks. How about that?
Wow, interesting.
How's that for some respect in that matchup? But coming up next, they may not be number one overall picks, but they are picks nonetheless. When the Philadelphia Eagles are on the clock in day 2, you might get a familiar name reading the card. We'll check in with that name next and see what he thinks the Eagles should do here on ESPN Radio.
Hold it down.
ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
In about 10 minutes, we will get back to our, in the words of Mike Golic Jr., our draft mockery, Janae and Golic Jr.'s mock draft with picks number 15 and 16, Patriots and Cardinals, respectively. But first, it's time to roll out the red carpet. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogunbowale and Mike Golic Jr. And we're going to head straight to the Goodyear hotline because I'm so excited for this moment. Clearly, this is a legend and someone that has paved the way for so many of us here at radio, here at ESPN. And we're delighted to be joined on the Goodyear Hotline by Mike Golic Sr. in the building, a radio Hall of Famer and a senior. I really wanted to come in here all formal, but I just have to keep it real here, especially with the, you know, Philly and the picks and your pedigree and all that stuff. But honestly, part of our ESPN radio family, Kendra, joined in the break and was like, basically, how does he, Mike Golic Sr., continue to get handsomer, more handsome as he ages, and people throw out the word zaddy all the time. How do you respond to all of this love from the streets?
Oh, you know, I gloat about it is what I do, because I've basically been a kind of a pudgy, not great looking athlete all my life. So now in the later stages of my life, I didn't even know what the hell zaddy meant when I first heard it. But then I heard what it was and I'm like, oh, okay, cool, man. I'm gonna run with this one. So that's pretty cool. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed a true professional and you bringing me in. I enjoyed Cliff playing Brandy, a song I sang to for decades. And I hope Cliff will play the old man Sounder at some point as well.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, you knew you weren't going to have to wait long for that one from Cliff, who's already trying to find plans to help you go full David Akers. As, Dad, you're getting the chance to announce the draft pick for at least one of the day two picks for your former professional team, the Eagles, which we'll get to in a second. But I need you to confirm something, because I know part of your rise to this status, and it's weird for me because when all of my colleagues are coming here talking about you being a zaddy, it weirds me out. I already had to sit next to you and get my hair shamed for so long. But the beard seems to be a big part of it, Dad. What's the beard been like received by mom, the rest of the family here? Because is this staying forever? It was never part of our life for like 30 years of my existence.
Well, the key is your mother liking it, because I tried to do a beard mustache one time years ago. This was back in my 300-plus days. And I walked out one time with a beard, and she laughed at me. I walked back in. I shaved the beard, left the mustache, walked back out, and she didn't speak to me. So I went and shaved everything off. Then all of a sudden, I lost a bunch of weight. I grew the beard, and it's like peppery. And like I said, I wanted to be the Dos Equis man, the most interesting man in the world. And then eventually Moses, where my hair is white and my beard is white. And all of a sudden, she liked it. Listen, I live with her every day. That's the key. I need her to like it. She liked it. Everybody seemed to like it. The word zaddy's getting thrown around. The only downside is my mom, who is 90, loved it. But the last time I saw her, she said, okay, I've had enough of the beard. Get rid of it. But I'm not going to, because when the wife likes it, Cliff, you can go ahead and play the music I know you want to play, my friend. You know what I'm talking about.
Dear God, Cliff, don't you dare.
Wait,
Cliff,
hold on. Before he plays the music, let the record reflect on ESPN Plus, you're titled as National Radio Hall of Famer and Zaddy. So cue the music all day, every day.
Oh, I love it. Yes.
You guys are
sick.
Wow.
All right? You're going uphill, not downhill.
Sick and twisted. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're talking to Mike Golic Sr., my dad. Radio Hall of Famer, and God, I hate this song so much. It's unbelievable, and so I'm going to try and deflect.
It helps you come here, so it's you should be happy for it.
Oh, my God. She means that in a literal sense, too, which I freaking hate.
I'm done. I'm done.
You are done. Cut her mic. Cut her mic. We're done with it, all right? Absolutely done with it. Let's talk about the reason that we're even here right now and not the reason I'm here anymore. Because, Dad, we saw the announcement go on earlier on – God help me – go out on Twitter earlier today that you're going to be announcing some pick for your former professional team, the Eagles, in your hometown of Cleveland. So while Grandma Kate's busy hating your beard, is there any chance you go rogue with this second over? Like, how did this happen, Dad, for the second-round pick that you're going to announce for the Eagles now?
Well, you know, they called me last year, but I wasn't able to do it, and it was virtual last year, but the timing didn't work out. So they called me again this year, and I'm going to happen to be there because – your cousin, my niece, Jenna Golic, is getting married. So we're going to be there for that. And then we're going to – so I was going to be there for the draft. So I said, yeah, I would love to do it. There's a couple of things I have to think about. First and foremost, Cliff, I'm sorry, I can't go the way of David Akers. Akers did it a couple of years ago after the Super Bowl, and the draft was in Dallas. So there was a lot of bleep talking that could go on because you were in a puffy chest mode. The Eagles were a bad team last year, and the draft's in Cleveland, so I can't really go down that road. So the road is one of two ways. I can announce, Mike, that you're the second-round pick. I can do that. I can maybe try and start my ascension to want to be a general manager and make my own pick, no matter what the Eagles card says, me pick who I think they should take, or I think I'll probably just do the right thing and just probably pick the name they put on the card and pray it's an easy name to pronounce.
Well, that whoever you pick is going to be better than whatever Howie Roseman does, so I trust you more anyway.
Oh, come on, Cliff, come on.
And speaking of the Eagles, the word on the block after we played Paper, Scissors, Rock, and by the way, I don't know, Senior, if you know that I beat Junior in Paper, Scissors, Rock yesterday, even though he said he was, like, indefeatable, I actually beat him. But the word on the block with the Eagles is the fact that Jalen Hurts, not necessarily openly named the starter per Nick Sirianni. How'd you feel about that?
Well, that's not shocking. New coach coming in kind of saying, hey, it's an open competition everywhere. Players are going to know what the deal is. You know, all that I would ask there is I ask of any place. Open communication. There's been issues from management to coaching staff with the Eagles. We know in the past. I mean, you can disagree on things. That's fine. But at least go in on the same page. Even if you disagree, everybody knows what everybody is thinking. Who's making the decisions and what you're going to do. So if you want to make it look like it's an open competition, but it really isn't, or is it really an open competition, just be on the same page with everybody. Every player, whether it's good or bad, and even if it's bad, even though they don't want to know, they want to know. Everybody wants to know where you stand. So just be honest with where you are and stick with it so everybody can be on the same page.
Being on the same page in draft season, though, is easier said than done overall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dad, you spent years covering the NFL draft for us here at ESPN, and we always get into these debates position-wise, and I feel like we've got a big one at five this year. The Cincinnati Bengals, a lot of people have mocked Penei Sewell, the tackle out of Oregon. A lot have looked Kyle Pitts, the weapon out of Florida, and I call him weapon and not tight end because that's the way we've built him up as. When you look at these two guys specifically, kind of this first non-quarterback argument of the draft, which do you think can come in and help a team like the Bengals more sooner in this case?
Well, I think the misconception is you look at the guy that can catch touchdowns and be that weapon, which I think Pitts, listen, Pitts is fantastic. And both guys are great, at least looking forward going into the draft. But I don't think that's the right way to look at things. You know, so each game, maybe he gets 5 targets, 3 catches, 8 targets, 6 catches, 10 targets, 7 catches, you know, and certainly some touchdowns. Sewell comes in, and he's a rock from the beginning. Look what, and I mentioned him not just because they're Notre Dame grads, but guys that stepped in from year one, and we're not just Pro Bowlers, but all pro. Quentin Nelson, Zach Martin. You know, look what Wirfs did last year in Tampa Bay. He should have been an all pro at right tackle. You got guys that can step in on the O-line. Certainly in the box score, you're not going to see their production right away, but they are anchors for years on that line of scrimmage. And Joe Burrow, all you had to see last year is him getting carted off the field to know you could use more protection. So I just kind of don't like when they go immediately, when you're talking non-quarterbacks, you go right to a guy that can catch passes and touchdowns, which is great, but forget about the 330-pounder that moves like a 300-pounder, you know, and can be rock steady for at least a decade.
Mike Golic Sr. joining us here on Chanae and Golic Jr. And I love that sandwich today on ESPN Radio. And being able to talk to you, your voice has really just made my day and brightened our day. And I want to stay on my emotions before, you know, unfortunately you have to go. Because I always tell people that Mike Golic Jr. is the best teammate that I have had ever at ESPN. And obviously that is your son. So what was the moment that you sort of knew that he would step into his own and that he was built for this? Because I'm really curious, was it 4 a.m. when he was holding it down on ESPN Radio or when he was having fun with you and Wingo?
Oh, no, when it was 4 a.m., when, you know, he hadn't been in the business long and he had to do the show on his own. Anybody doing a show alone, man, that is some serious talk radio. So when he, I think he earned his keep doing that, doing it alone and really, and, you know, listen, he was an undrafted guy. I was a 10th rounder. We had to really bust our butt in work ethic and always have to try and get where we needed to go, whether in sports or out. And he's done that. He put in the work. He put in the time. He could always speak. But he did it so well, and I think doing that by himself for a while before he joined our show I think was really what did it for him. And listen, you guys are phenomenal together. You know, like I said, the only downside is Cliff can't play the old man music, but I like listening to you guys a lot. From a personal side, I'm really proud of Mike and what he's done. And for as long as I was at ESPN, the best years still were the years he and I got to flip on the mic together and talk together for 4 hours a day.
It was a damn good time. We had a lot of fun, and Lord knows we learned a lot from following in your footsteps, Dad. And people will hopefully learn a lot when you take over the microphone and, I just assume, turn the draft podium into a radio segment. So look out for a podium near you in the upcoming second round of the NFL draft. Dad will be on the card making a pick for the Philadelphia Eagles. Dad, we appreciate the time. Go take care
later,
of Mom.
Later, OG Zaddy.
See y'all, thanks.
All right, Mike Golic Sr. joining us on ESPN Radio. Coming up next, we'll head back to our mock draft and away from the word zaddy here on ESPN Radio.
Never.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Look, our worlds are colliding here in the biggest ways. I put this news item in our show group chat, and it proceeded to go crazy. And it involves television, okay? We will tell you what made the guys go crazy in our group chat and nerd out in a few minutes. But first, it's Jhené Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN+. Jhené Ogumike, Mike Golic Jr. here present. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Fun times with Pops. That was really cool. POP held it down. But now we're going to get to you, Jr., because you've dubbed it the mock draft mockery. Draft mockery, but we're having fun with our Jhené Golic Jr. mock draft. So we're finally at number 15 and number 16 in the draft with our own version. And the interesting thing to note is that Alabama quarterback Mac Jones is still on the board in our mock draft. And looky here, Junior, the Patriots are on the clock. So let's get it.
The road to Super Bowl 56 and the Lombardi Trophy starts here.
Good evening. So you're ready for the draft?
The NFL draft is right around the corner. And instead of Jhené and Golic Jr. trying to navigate the mock draft landscape, we'll ask the people that actually cover and talk about these teams. It's the inaugural Jhené and Golic Jr. mock draft on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
All right, so the 15th pick is here, and Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots are on the clock. So let me hear those chimes, Cliff. And here for the selection, Ben Volen of the Boston Globe, the New England Patriots reporter, joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. So, with the Patriots and the 15th pick, Ben, the floor is yours.
Yes, yeah, scary proposition for Patriots fans if I'm the one making the pick. But I really felt stuck between a rock and a hard place here. It's like, you know, the Patriots need a quarterback, and I want to take one in the first round, but I don't think they want Mac Jones. I think they want a mobile quarterback like Trey Lance or Justin Fields, who can learn behind Cam Newton and give the Patriots, you know, another element in the offense. So I just don't think they want Mac Jones. I want a cornerback, but after the top two corners, there's a significant drop off. I want an offensive tackle, but after those two guys are gone, there's a significant drop off. So I feel a little bit stuck with this pick. That's why I'm just going best player available, and I'm taking Micah Parsons, the linebacker from Penn State. The Patriots added a couple linebackers in free agency. They brought back Kyle Van Noy. They signed Matthew Judon, who's more of an edge player, and they're getting Dante Hightower back. But, you know, none of those guys are necessarily young, and Parsons would be a tremendous three-down linebacker for the Patriots. I can envision him being the green dot guy and the team captain, or, you know, the defensive leader by year two or three. And because he has those guys in front of him, you know, Parsons is an opt-out guy, so there won't be too much pressure for him to perform right away. And Belichick does kind of like redshirting a lot of his rookie defenders anywhere. So I just love my options at this pick. And Mac Jones is obviously very tempting. I just don't think the Patriots want him. I think they want a more mobile quarterback. So that's why I'm going best player available and Micah Parsons from Penn State.
Ben, I like your style. Spicy and building it on the defensive side of the ball where this whole dynasty started. We appreciate the time, sir. Thank you for the pick.
Thank you.
All right, so Ben goes linebacker for the Patriots at 15. What a world where the Patriots want to go for a mobile quarterback and not a pocket guy like they just had for the last two decades. So
kind of wild, Junior. A lot of eyes are going to be on the Patriots in 15, especially now. And I think, obviously, Ben did pretty well under pressure. So the Patriots take Micah Parsons out of Penn State. And the Arizona Cardinals, you're next. So let's hear the chimes. and present here on the Goodyear Hotline with the 16th pick. John Weinfuss, our own ESPN Cardinals reporter, joins us now. And Josh, the floor is yours.
What's up, guys? So with the 16th pick in the 2021 Tanae and Golic Jr. mock draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Caleb Farley, cornerback, Virginia Tech.
All right, Caleb Farley, another corner off the board, and speed to burn for this squad here. Walk me through this pick now. We've seen some acquisitions this offseason for Arizona on the offensive side of the football here. How big is this defensive year coming up for Cliff Kingsbury and this Cardinal squad?
It's huge, because until this offense kind of continues to gel, I mean, they still have, you know, some new pieces. A.J. Green's in the mix now. They don't really know who their number one running back's going to be. So until this offense can kind of get its feet, the defense needs to carry them. And with Patrick Peterson leaving for Minnesota, they really need a future number one cornerback. They obviously signed Malcolm Butler. They brought back Robert Alford. But Alford signed a deal in 2019 and has yet to play a down for these guys. So they need someone that they can build around. And yes, Caleb Farley has had two back injuries. That's a concern. But the natural talent is there. The opportunity for him to grow and develop is there. And as long as he can stay healthy, I think he could be someone that could be a real foundation for this defense, which is going to be very good this year. They obviously added J.J. Watt. They have Chandler Jones, Buda Baker, Isaiah Simmons. The pieces are there, and adding a guy like Caleb Farley is just going to give them, you know, the opportunity to take the next step in the NFC West.
I was going to say, Vance Joseph and those sub packages are going to look mighty wild if you get this kind of speed continuing to add to the secondary. Josh, we appreciate the time and the pick, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh.
Thanks for having me.
It is crazy, Chinee, for all that we think about the offense in Arizona. Cliff Kingsbury, this guy from a, you know, air raid offense at Texas Tech, Kyler Murray, number one overall pick. That defense, and he just mentioned, some of it's a name team. J.J. Watt's getting up there in age, but Chandler Jones, when healthy, Isaiah Simmons, if he can take that leap in year two, the desert could be pretty interesting, and they're going to need it in that division.
And you know what's really fun? As we get further and further in the draft, we just had picks 15 and 16, just noting teams choosing to select whether it's best available or just their need. It's interesting to see which side they sort of err on.
And it's interesting to see, we have now had a quarterback officially in falling mode relative to where we've had in most of the mocks. Mac Jones, the Patriots, passing on him at 15 in this mock draft. So when we come up to Monday, our mock draft rolls along. We have the Las Vegas Raiders picking at 17. We have the Miami Dolphins picking at 18. The Washington football team at 19, and the Chicago Bears at 20. And now as Mac Jones fall, you wonder if any of those teams, specifically the Washington football team, gets Froggy and jumps at their chance. It seems like that would be a no-brainer, but we're going to have to wait to find that one out. So that's coming up Monday. Our thanks again to Ben Volen from the Boston Globe and Josh Weinfuss, our ESPN Cardinals reporter, for stopping by to make those picks. But coming up next, Avengers!
Assemble!
We'll tell you where they're linking up next here. Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. You nailed it on ESPN Plus.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
This is how we do it on a Friday, Chinee and Golic Jr. style. We've got a lot of big events coming up this weekend and next week. And we had guests today that kept that same energy. It's Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. And streaming live right now on ESPN Plus, Mike Golic Jr. Cheese and Chinee Ogwumike holding it down. And speaking of the big events coming up, we've got UFC 261, Kamaru Usman, the Nigerian Nightmare versus Jorge Masvidal rematch. And to talk about that, we had DC Daniel Cormier, ESPN MMA analyst and also host of DC and Helwani, who joined us. We also have our mock draft rolling along. And today we had a number of fantastic guests. Los Angeles Chargers, Daniel Popper, the Athletic Chargers reporter. For the Vikings, we had Phil Mackey, host of Mackey and Judd on Score North. For the Patriots, Ben Volen, who you just heard, Boston Globe Patriots reporter. And, of course, Josh Weinfuss, ESPN Cardinals reporter that you know all over our network. Plus, we had a birthday, Junior. Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider who joined us. And he dropped a lot of knowledge. It was really fun, and I'm hoping he has a good time, even though he worked on his birthday, which is like,
which
wow, you really
the most field thing possible, by the way. It's so dedicated.
Very true. But most importantly, ladies and gentlemen, we had a zaddy sighting. Michael Singer joined us. And that was really fun to get his take on the draft, also knowing that he's going to be a part of day two and those picks. We're hopefully going to get some entertainment. You said we're going to have the pulpit, and I am here for it. To like, I will be tuned in, Junior. A lot of amazing guests based on the draft next week, WNBA training camp next week. We've got UFC this weekend. What a time to be alive. And we keep that same energy.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Janae, keeping that same energy. Speaking of the draft, we saw an announcement from our own Adam Schefter earlier today that Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, is fully vaccinated and will be able to, as is tradition, hug the players that are selected in the upcoming NFL draft. Janae, I, for one, am going to pour one out for Roger Goodell, who appeared to be enjoying himself off whatever brand of Chardonnay he enjoyed last year during the NFL draft. It looked like he was at home very comfy on his couch, and I'm going to miss that version of Roger, but now we get all the dap back.
Look, that's what I was about to say. Like, I just inspect the daps. Like, you with it? You know what I mean? Is it going to be a hug, or are you going to try to do, like, the whole hand, fist close, then bump? Like, I just try to see how much, you know, he's with it in between these draft picks. But glad he's able to be in proximity. That's awesome.
I imagine Roger Goodell going through like a dap combine before the NFL draft. Players just coming out with different arm angles, different approaches, all to see if the commissioner is ready to hold this one down. I hope he locks it at the end. God love us. God help
this
us
is it.
If he doesn't.
If you're watching on ESPN Plus, this is how daps go.
Like I say,
grab the fingers and then bring the fist in.
Don't be the weird white person that goes in and does it like this and then just lets go.
Yeah,
it's so uncomfortable.
I think you're holding hands and you're like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You got to go for the fingers and bring the fist in.
We could teach a course on DAP around here to help a lot of people out, because it's one of the things in this industry, especially when you have athletes and people behind microphones coming together, doesn't always work
also,
out well.
Also, food for thought, we need to change the DAP emoji so that like we can just, you know, because it's like only yellow. Like, we got to put it in. We got to add swirl to it.
I was going
to
say, we do need our show represented and swirled in the DAP emoji. So look on that one, because remember, if you lock fingers, you're showing love. But the point at the end says, Shannon, you got to come in on this one, because I feel like, didn't Bomani Jones always have a quote on this, letting people know? Nope. All right, good. We'll keep it moving. Keeping that same energy here on Janae and Golic Jr. We're so close. How about this, Janae? Let's head out to Vegas. A typo in a prop bet led to a $10,500 windfall for one casino. There was a bet filed to betmgm.com. last year on a player prop for Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes in the Chiefs and Browns game. Basically, the wager was that if either player or if each player passed for more than 300 yards in that game, the prop bet would play out. The only problem is, instead of 300, someone dropped the 3 and just added 0. So all that had to happen was each player had to complete one pass for any amount of yardage, and the bet was going to pay. They combined for 459 yards in that game. Now, MGM tried to report it during the game. They ended up having to actually pay out and deciding to pay out the winners, costing them about $10,500 for the four or five people that decided to jump on that one.
I love that. Like, that's the lottery that you need. Like, especially these days where it's like, all right, like, the odds are against me. Like, those type of things actually make me smile, Junior.
Those things make me smile. Those things make you smile. This should make everyone smile, though, because we saw an announcement that ESPN is getting set to debut Marvel-themed broadcast for the Warriors-Pelicans game in the NBA. They announced on Friday that the game on May 3rd is going to be a special edition broadcast that will air on ESPN2 plus Deportes, with the traditional game airing on ESPN. But, Janae, the Marvel Arena of Heroes telecast will bring Marvel's storytelling directly to the real-time experience of an NBA game. And I, for one, am psyched. We're going to see iconic character elements from Black Panther, Iron Man, Captain Marvel, Captain America, Black Widow, Doctor Strange, all throughout the game. This is going to be electric.
You had me at Black Panther. At first, I was like, will I be able to, like, understand? Because I'm stuck at Guardians of the Galaxy in my, like, Marvel Universe watching thingy. But I put this in the group chat and y'all were like, oh my gosh, like, yeah. So, yes.
Listen, for those of us that are just downloading and just getting to enjoy the finale of Falcon and Winter Soldier today, we're knee-deep in this Marvel stuff still. If you're on Disney Plus like the rest of us, it doesn't stop ever. And now it's leaking over into our NBA broadcast. Janae, I need this for college football season in the worst way.
Oh, my
ESPN,
gosh.
Jimmy, baby, call me. Let me lead the charge on the Marvel-themed college football broadcast for the national championship that you need. I'm ready for this.
You are built for this, Junior.
Listen, we are built for it. Janae Ogunwoke getting set to enjoy her last weekend of freedom before training camp starts
next week.
And we will take you through every bit of that action here coming up next week. Stay tuned. Spain and Fitz next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.